What is your full name?
Valerie Joyce Lloyd. That's my married name.
Okay.
Single name is Belanda.
What year were you born? What year were you born?
Where? What year? Yeah. March 1940.
What did your parents do for a living?
My dad worked as storekeeper for a cable firm, and my mother worked in a cake factory.
Where were you born?
Where was I born? I was born at Poplar.
That's
East London.
Okay. What are your earliest memories of the docks?
Earliest memories? I would say after the war, so I'd say around about 1940s, the end of 1940s. Just seeing the dockets, waiting at the gates to be taken on to go onto the boats to do their jobs.
Describe the area where you grew up.
The area where I grew up? Well, I grew up on the Isle of Dogs. I went on the Isle of Dogs, moved on to the Isle of Dogs in 1945, near the end of the war, and I went to school on there and grew up on the island. I had nice schooling.
Okay.
I went to two schools on the island.
How did the dogs affect your childhood?
How did the dogs affect me?
Yeah.
It didn't really. Except for we used to get bridges and you couldn't go across if one of the boats was going through. So we had to wait until the bridges had gone and the boats had gone, and then they'd let the bridge back down again, and we went over, got to get to school. It was always late. And they always knew at school I would be late. Yeah.
Tell us about your family history on the docks.
My family history? Well, my family didn't go into the docks, but I did work in the docks myself, inside the docks. That's all I can really say. As I say, I used to see the dockies when they used to be hundreds and hundreds of them. They'd all be trying to get into the dock gate, but they have to be waiting to be called on. And so we'd have to wait before we get carry on to go to school, as well as the bridges. I used to be a bit of a pain really for us getting to school.
How did the docks affect the community where you grew up?
How did it affect it?
Your community?
Mainly from the bridges that we got through the docks, mainly. We got lots of bridges because we had about three bridges to get through. And a couple of them used to get stuck and they used to go around, and we had a little bridge. During the war, one got blown up and they put a barge there. You know what the barges are, don't you? Barge. And they put a bridge on that so we could go across. But that was terrible. Because sometimes it was up so high that you couldn't get up it or get down it.
Okay. What story did your family tell you about the history of the docks?
What did my family? I didn't know a lot about that, really, my family, not the docks. Because my dad, he didn't work on the Isle of Dogs. He worked in Charlton, which was South East London. And my mum, she worked at Poplar. She didn't work on the island. And my mum was also a foster mother, so she fostered lots of children on the island. You should look after other people's children, quite a lot.
Tell us about how World War II affected the docks.
How?
World War II affected the docks.
World War? Well, as I was born at the beginning of the war, I don't really know much about the war, but my husband, all his family was killed during the war. The whole family. There was only my husband and his mum left out of the family. The rest was all killed in the house together. And so it wasn't very nice. And that was on the island, they all got killed. What else can I say? It wasn't very nice, the war, anyway. My mum used to say that she would get very upset, and we was evacuated as well, away for a little while. And I was also ill during that time, and I had to go away. I had TB as a child, and so I had to go away for quite a while. So I was off the island during the wartime.
Tell us about how you first decided to work in the docks.
How I first began to work in the docks.
Yeah, decided.
Yeah. Well, I'd already been doing work. I'd worked in biscuit factory. I'd worked in tailoring when I first left school, because you left school at 15. I left school on the Friday and started work on the Monday. The school got us our job, got you your job. And I'd done tailoring, but that was piecework. So you couldn't do the work. They never used to show you much, just had to start, put the sewing machine on, and that was it, and you had to get on with it. And it was piecework, so I didn't get much money. So I left there, and I went into a biscuit factory, and then a cake factory, and then I ended up, my sister worked in the docks, and so I went and joined her there, and it was doing work the same as the men, on the saws, and all the machinery, and then you loaded the wood up, massive big wood, it was very heavy. And that was loaded onto the boats, and went off to sea wherever country it was going to. So that was my experience of being in the dock, working in the docks. But I enjoyed it. It was hard work, but it was enjoyable. Not so nice in the winter, very cold because it's all open. So you had several pairs of stockings. Well, it was stockings then. We didn't have tights. It was stockings. Couple of pairs of stockings on, and you had woolly vests and all sorts of things. Sometimes I even put my dad's long johns on to keep me warm in the winter, because it was very, very cold. We had bad winters then, really cold. But as I say, we used to sit and have our tea breaks, and you'd have the rats running around you. But you scared them at first, but you got used to them. And I stayed there until I got married. I was there a few years. I got married in 1957. And then I went back there for a little while after I got married, until I had my first son in 1959. Then I left there. I wasn't, that's just how long I was in the docks working. But you used to see all what was going on in the docks. You could see the other people working around you, you know, and see the boats being loaded and with different cargoes and all that. I went on to into British Telecom then, and I stayed at British Telecom for 20 years until I retired. I took early retirement from there because I was a carer for my mum and dad. And so I retired, took early retirement from the post office from there, British Telecom.
Tell us about how you would get a job in those early years.
How would I?
Get a job in those early years.
How would I get a job?
Yeah, in those early years.
Sorry, I didn't hear that properly.
Tell us about how you would get a job in those early years.
To get a job early?
Yeah.
When you first started, what was it like getting a job? When you first started,
yeah.
How was it?
But when I first left school,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I think I told you that. When I first left school, you left on the Friday, we was 15, and you started work on the Monday. So you already had a job to go to, because it's the school used to get you a job. So they got you a job, and then you went and started on it on a Monday, and that was, as I say, in tailoring. But it was piecework, and because I couldn't get on with it, I didn't stay there very long. I wasn't earning any money, because if you didn't do the work, you didn't get the money.
So how did you get your job in the docks? How did that come about?
Into the docks. My sister was working there, And so I went and joined her in the docks, doing the same as the men, on the machines and wood, doing the wood, lifting it and stacking it and all sorts of things, just the same as the men. It was heavy, very heavy work, very heavy, hard work. But as I say, but it was enjoyable. There was only about 8 of us worked there, 8 women. The rest was all men. And we all got on very well and we all enjoyed it. It was nice.
Please describe the job you did when you first started working on the docks.
Describe it?
Yes.
It's very busy. As I say, we worked with the men, doing the same as the men. We used to have to be quick because as it come through the machine, big machines, you had to lift it and stack it over onto a pile. And when they got to a certain salt, that bit, they shift that lot and that was taken away to be put onto the boats. And that's how, what I did.
Can you briefly describe some of the other jobs people did in the docks?
The other
people, the other people did in the docks?
Well, as I say, there was also a flour mill near us and there was lots of women, that was inside the docks, and lots of people worked in there as well, in the flour mill, which was MacDougall's. They worked on there. Other than that was the dockies that worked on the quaysides. So, and you had a policeman on the gate, so you couldn't go in unless you were searched and checked and everything before you could go in to go to work every day. And the same coming out, they used to check you, make sure you haven't taken anything. And I don't think I would have come out with a lump of wood.
How do you feel working in those early years?
How did I feel?
Working? Yes.
I loved it. I loved it there, more so than any of the other jobs I had. But the longest place, as I say, was in for British Telecom, and I enjoyed that. 20 years I'd done that. But I had to take early retirement because I was looking after my mum and dad, who wasn't in good health at the time. But the jobs, the last job, the one in the docks, and the post office, they was my best, the ones I enjoyed.
Describe any training you got and skills you needed to work for.
Any?
Skills and training you got.
Any training? No, you didn't have any training. No training in the docks. You just went into it and they just said, right, you stand there and as the wood comes out, you break it up and stack it. No, we had no training. You just had to learn it as you went along yourself.
What were working conditions like?
Sorry, I'm not very good, am I?
What were working conditions like?
Working conditions?
Yes.
Well, very dirty because it was you're in a shed, open shed, so you only had a roof. You didn't have any, it wasn't closed in down below, and you had wood everywhere and rats and pigeons and all that flying around because it was out, it was all open. Quite dirty, actually, it was. Yeah, quite dirty. It wasn't a clean environment at all.
Describe any typical day in working life.
Any?
Typical day in working life.
Any typical day?
Yes.
When I was working with the wood?
Yeah.
If I was on a saw myself, you went in, you start the saw up, make sure it's all safe, you've got the safety bit on, and then you just push it along and the wood would come. You'd have a man with you and he would push the wood through and you used to saw it. All right.
Describe the people you work with.
Describe them?
Yes.
Very nice people, actually. The man I worked with, he was an islander, and I believe he was a counsellor as well on the island. And he was very nice, and I enjoyed my time that I did work there with him. And I got on well with most people there. I used to go, instead of going home for lunch, I used to sit somewhere on the woods or whatever and have me sandwiches. And there was a little canteen where you could get a cup of tea and that, so, yeah.
What kinds of nicknames did people have?
Nicknames?
Yes.
Well, I used to be called Celery. Because my name was Valerie, so they called me Celery. I don't think any of them had any other name, any of them had any nicknames. My dad's the only one I know who had, and my brother who had nicknames, but they didn't work in the docks. My dad was always known as Dutchie, because he come from a Dutch background. My great-grandfather was Dutch, with the name Valander, he'd come from Holland. And so they called him Dutchie. And my brother used to be called Muffin, because he liked muffins. But other than that, I don't know of anybody else that had nicknames, apart from myself. There was Celery.
Tell us how dockers used to socialise together.
How the dockers
used to socialise together.
I'm not quite sure what you said there.
Socialise. How do they socialise?
What, the dockers?
Dockers, yeah.
Well, we didn't have a lot to do with the dockers. I say the only time I really see the dockers and they was in our way was when they was waiting to go and be taken on in the mornings, see if they was going to be taken. Some of it was okay and some of it was a bit, you know, a bit gruff with us, and especially as we was kids. They didn't like us children being in the way, because we've got to get through to get to school. So we used to say, can we get through? And it, You have to hold on. We're waiting for our man to tell us whether we're on the boats or not today. And so didn't really get on with the dockies all that much.
Tell us how some slang words used in the docks.
Any?
Slang words used in the docks.
Any?
Slang words.
Slang words.
Slang.
Slang.
So.
Slang.
Slang.
Slang?
Oh, I think the men used to swear. I think that was their slang. The dockers did anyway. Especially if they didn't get taken on. But no, I don't really know of any slang words that they use. Not really, no.
What was your favourite cargo?
The most well, where I was wood. But there was cars taken on as cargo. There was sugar, because of the sugar and the flour from MacDougall's. They was all taken on the boats. And my husband's father used to be work on the docks before he got killed, and used to be about the bridge man, and used to open the bridges and let the boats go through when they was full up with whatever they was taking. We also had passenger liners as well coming. They used to go to the Canary Islands then. I can't think of any others.
What was your least favourite cargo?
Least favourite?
Yes.
I would think the least favourite would have been for them would have been sugar and the salts, salt and sugar, that sort of thing. I think it used to burn them, especially if they had the sacks on their neck, on their head. It used to carry them on their head. So I would imagine it'd be something like that. It would be the worst. Anything else would be okay. I'm sorry. I'm not very good, am I?
What is the most unusual cargo you have seen?
An elephant. See some zoo elephants. Elephants going on, I think they was going on, I don't think they was coming off. And cars, but I think the most unusual was taking on horses, or, but an elephant was the most strange one I saw being put on a boat.
What were your early earnings like?
Earnings.
Yeah.
Not very good. I mean, when I worked in the docks, we worked at 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. That was Monday to Friday. And then Saturday you worked 8 o'clock till 1 o'clock and you got £4 a week for that. That was your wages. That was the most. That was it.
Can you tell us some of the naughtiest things people did there?
Naughtiest, you say?
Yeah. Naughtiest, yeah.
Well, in the dock, when I worked in the docks. No, I don't think. I know I see several things go on. I mean, I've even seen the saw chop a man's leg off, that sort of thing. But that wouldn't be anything to do. Some of the boys there used to play about and mess around, and that used to be told off for doing that because of the dangerous work. But that's all I can tell you there.
Tell us something funny that happened on the docks. Tell us something funny that happened on the docks.
Something funny?
Yes.
I didn't see anything funny. We used to have a good laugh, and especially when there was, you know, people would be running around, the girls might be frightened of the rats, and they used to run around. We used to laugh at them, running around away from the rats, because they was there all the time, the rats. We used to scoop them up, with the baby one, scoop them up on a shovel and put them in the furnace, because there was so many of them, so many rats.
Can you describe the saddest thing that happened on the docks? The saddest thing that happened on the docks.
Everything.
The saddest.
Sorry, I don't understand.
The saddest. What was the saddest thing that happened to you?
Sorry, I still didn't get you. I'm sorry, my ears are so bad at the moment.
The saddest thing. The saddest.
No, it didn't.
The saddest thing. Saddest.
Oh, saddest things. Yeah. I thought, well, if there was an accident in there, we used to get upset. But like I say, I see a man get his leg chopped off on a saws. That was sad. But no, we didn't have a lot of sad. We used to have a good laugh, really, mostly. I wouldn't say it was a sad time. No. I enjoyed my work.
Describe how working conditions changed during your time on the docks.
Our working conditions? As I say, it wasn't very clean there because it was all wooden things. We were in a big open shed. So conditions wasn't all that good. You had to be careful where you walked or what you was doing because it was dangerous. Dangerous place to work, really.
Did it improve during the time you were there?
Did it improve? No. No, it didn't improve at all while I was there. Not at all. As I say, I left when I got married. That was 1957. And it was still the same.
Tell us about the role of the union in your working life.
Ellie?
The role of your union
the
in
role?
Your working life.
Did we have a union, you mean? Yes, we did. Yeah, there was a union. We had a union man who used to come out to us, and if we had any problems, we used to go to him. But I never did. I never had any problems, really. No. I wasn't there that... As I say, I went there a few years, then I left and I got married and went back again until I had my first son. In 1959, but no, we didn't have any. I didn't go to him at all, to the man. But we did have a union. It was there for us if we needed him.
Tell us, t- Tell us about any disputes on the docks.
Any disputes?
Yeah.
Oh, the men was always going on strike. Not our men, not from the where I was actually working, but the dockies used to go on strike a lot. There was always going on strike. There was a lot of that going on. But it didn't affect me. Not there.
Compare the docks when you first started with how they were towards the end of your time working time there.
How was?
Compare the docks when you first started with how they were towards the end of your time working there.
Just the same all the way through. Nothing any different. No, so I didn't have a lot to do with the docks, only just where I actually, the bit that I was working at. So I didn't actually have anything to do with the dockies themselves. Not me.
How did people on the docks react to when they began to close?
When they?
When they began to close.
When they began to close,
yes.
They wasn't happy at all. They wasn't happy about that. I'd already been left by then and got children. they had to go to somewhere else further down into Essex and work, and they wasn't very happy about the travelling. They wasn't happy at all about that.
How did you feel when the docks closed?
When the docks
closed?
Well, as I said, they had to travel away. They didn't like it. Because, well, it was always known as a dock place. I mean, lots of farm people we knew were dockies. And it was the families, they didn't like that. They liked to be, you like to work near where you lived, obviously. But it wasn't convenient. You had to be travel away because Essex is further than excuse me where we you know where it is. No, not very good, am I? Not very good.
How did the closure affect the communities along the river?
How did
the closure affect the communities in the area?
It affected the river a lot because the firms, because it was nearly all factories on the island. And when the docks closed and it wasn't going on the boats anymore along the river, along the Thames, they used lorries, because the lorries along the road just blocked the island up. It was better when they had it on the boats, took all the cargo. But when it was shut up, as I say, it had to go by road. And that's when all the roads, which now, like it is now, all blocked with lorries and that kind of different places. And they used to go to, it was Tilbury where the men went to work, a lot of them. But a lot of the lorries afterwards, you'd have to go to Dover and go across the water to Calais because there was no boats. Wasn't using the boats on the river anymore, and I don't think that pleased them any either. And my husband always says they should use the river more, so because it'd be take the congestion off the roads.
How has the area changed since you worked on the docks?
How has the area since the docks filled? Well, I don't like the island as it is now. It's not like it was a family island. Everybody was like a big family of us, and we also got our own independence on the island. We took sheep, people, and other animals, and we took them. And we stopped people getting on the island on the bridges on the bridge. We got a big blue bridge, and so we got what we wanted, which was our own independence. So we got that. But then when they docks, they started shutting all the factories and everything up, we ended up just a dirty mess really on the island. We're still living in that sort of environment. There's no room to move or anything now. They're just building and building and building. So you can't clean properly in your home. It's not dust, it's grit. And so you can be cleaning all day long. It makes your carpets dirty. Because we're living in a builder's yard, really, and we're still living in it. Because they're still building on the island. But all the factories have all gone. My husband worked on the island for years, and as well, until he retired.
Looking back, how do you feel having worked on the docks? How do you feel looking back, how do you feel working on the docks? How do you feel now working on the how do you feel having worked on the docks?
Oh, I liked working in there. Where, as I say, I liked the job, the work I was doing, even though it was hard work. I enjoyed it. And everybody got on well. But, yeah.
Marie Antoinette has a question for you.
So, how did you fall in love with your husband, and did
how did I meet my husband?
Yeah.
Can you answer?
I'm sorry. He was in the army, and I was still at school when I met my husband, and I was engaged at 16, got married at 17, and had my first son at 19.
Like, how did you fall in love with him?
How did I fall in love with him? That's an odd one. I just did, I suppose, really. But it wasn't a very good marriage, I'm afraid. I did get divorced, and I remarried my husband that I'm with now. And he's a diamond, he's lovely. He's okay. We've been married 25 years now. And I've got two children. Two sons, 157, 159, and I've got four grandchildren. I've got a granddaughter, 30, my eldest grandson is 28, and then I've got a middle grandson, he's 24 next month, and the youngest one is 20 this month. And then I've got one great grandson, he's at 20 months, and that's my eldest grandson's.